Machlokas of more contemporary poskim as to whether the requirement of Shishim Ribo, according to those opinions that do require Shishim Ribo, is Cheshbon based on the entire city or based on a specific street. I just noticed since last time the Chuvas Eben Yisrael, Diane Fisher from Yerushalayim, Chelech Ches Simen Lamed Vav, Eben Yisrael Chelech Ches Simen Lamed Vav, he just points out that as far as the construction of the Erev in modern Yerushalayim, which is a city that has a population of Lamala Mishishim Ribo, he writes that the basis for having an Erev that encompasses all of Yerushalayim is essentially relying on the Chazon Ish, because this question of whether you need Shishim Ribo in the street or in the entire city is an unresolved question. It remains a machlokas. So the primary reliance of constructing the Erev in modern Yerushalayim is based on the Chazon Ish. Okay. Let's go back to the Lashon LeMechaber in the Siman Shin Memei. The Mechaber's formulation of this opinion is V'yesh Omrim, Shekol She'ein Shishim Ribo Ovrin Bo B'chol Yom Eino Rishis HaRabim, that any place that doesn't have 600,000 people traversing it b'chol yom on a daily basis, eino rishus harabim. So where did this formulation of b'chol yom come from? If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Katan Kaf Dalid, chipasti b'chol harishonim ha'omdim b'shita zu. I looked through all the rishonim who are of this opinion, namely that a rishus harabim requires shishim ribo, below Niskar Bidurayim Tanaiza, and there's no mention in their writings of this requirement that the Shishim Ribo travel through the city on a daily basis. Rakshi Umitsuyim Sham Shishim Ribo, only that it has Shishim Ribo, but not necessarily that the Shishim Ribo must be present b'chol yo. Okay, that's the Mishnah Berurah writes. And they haven't found anyone who has this requirement of B'chol Yom. The problem is that there are Rishonim that have B'chol Yom. If you look, for example, in the Ramban, we quoted this last time, a different line in the Ramban in Shabbos and Daf Nun Zayin, and the Ran and Daf Kavav B'Daf Harif in Shabbos as well. So the Ramban is Chidushim to Shabbos Daf Nun Zayin, and the Ran Daf Kaf Vav Amud Aleph B'Dapei Rif. So they both quote the Sefer HaTruma that we quoted last time, and the Sefer Truma has this formulation of B'chol Yom. So how can the Mishnah Berurah say Chipasti B'chol Rishonim Om De B'Shita Zu, and no one has mention of B'chol Yom? Obviously, the Mishnah Berurah had access to and was familiar with the Chidushei HaRamban and the Ran. So what comes to mind is that the Mishnah Berurah's formulation is Klipasti B'chol HaRishonim Ha'om De Mishita Zu, the Rishonim that hold of this position of Shishim Ribo, and they make no mention of this tonight. So the Ramban and the Ran themselves don't hold of the requirement of Shishim Ribo. They're in the camp that you don't need Shishim Ribo. So they are citing a Sefer HaTruma, but they are not themselves of this position. And if you look in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, I think they point out something along these lines. And if you look in Rabbi Simon's Ha'aros and Rabbi Willig's article in the Beis Yitzchak of Taf Shin Nun Gimel, Rabbi Simon quotes this Ha'ara from the Tzanzer Rosh Kolel in the name of the Tzanzer Rosh Yeshiva. That the Mishnah Berurah is Meduyuk, he says, Kipasi B'chol Yishon Ha'om De Mishita Zu. So there is a formulation of Yishon B'chol Yom, but that's a formulation of those Yishonim who are quoting this as a Shita other than their own. Chipasti b'chol rishonim, who actually hold the shita of shishimibo, and no rishon that holds the shita of shishimibo requires b'chol yom. We'll come to you in a minute, Yisrael. Okay, nevertheless, we do find this formulation of b'chol yom in other rishonim as well. If you look in the Rabbeinu Peretz in our sugya, Eirvin Davav, so the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, Eirvin Davav, also has a formulation of b'chol yom. Now, admittedly, the Mishnah Berurah did not see the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz that had it been printed in his time. And if you look at the Me'iri as well, the Me'iri and Daf Nun Zayin and Shabbos also writes b'chol yom. The Me'iri Shabbos Nun Zayin writes b'chol yom. But the Me'iri is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah as being one of the Rishonim that holds that you don't need Shishimibo. So far, this hypothesis in explaining the Mishnah Berurah remains correct, that none of the Rishonim that we cited so far that have the Lashon HaBechol Yom were both available to the Me'iri and themselves were of the opinion that you require Shishimibo. So the Me'iri, according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Ran and the Ramban, who have this formulation of b'chol yom, do not themselves require shishimibo. And the Rabbeinu Peretz, who is of the opinion, like the Bali Tosfos, that you do require shishimibo, was not printed in the time of the Mishnah Berurah. Just hold on for another moment. However, Rabbi Kasher points out, and Rav Avadi as well, Rav Avadi in the Tshuva that we previously mentioned, Chelek Tes Yabia Omer Simin Lama Gimel, Chelek Tes Yabia Omer Simin Lama Gimel, they both quote a Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Yeruchim also has the Lashon of B'chol Yom. And the Mishnah Berurah does quote Rabbeinu Yeruchim as being among those Rishonim that require Shishimibo. So we now do have at least one Rishon that the Mishnah Berurah did have access to, who does require shishimibo, and also has the formulation of b'chol yom. So I guess what you're forced to say is that the Mishnah Berurah may not have had the Rabbeinu Yeruchim in front of him at this time, or had the actual original lashon of the Rabbeinu Yeruchim when he was making this comment. Okay, so. The issue was, Chipasti b'chol harishonim ha'onim b'shita zu. So there are rishonim that quote b'chol yom, but those are rishonim who are pinning it on the sheet that they don't paskin like. So no rishon that paskin shishimibo requires b'chol yom. What's wrong with that? Is there Rabbeinu Yeruchim does require shishimibo, and he does have b'chol yom, and there Mishnah Berurah have Rabbeinu Yeruchim.
Right, but what does it matter if the rishon holds like the sheet that they're quoting or not?
They're quoting the Sefer Tumim. The Sefer Tumim himself doesn't have the formulation of b'chol yom, so they're right. The Sefer Tumim l'fanein does not have b'chol yom. The Ramban quotes the Sefer Tumim and uses the term b'chol yom in a citation of Sefer Tumim, but that's not the way it appears in the Sefer Tumim l'fanein. So then technically, if not for the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the statement of Chipasti B'chol Rishonim may hold up literally. Sam.
I'm cracking on it again, but maybe this might just be a Bar Ilan thing again. But I think
the Mishnah Berurah did not have the Bar Ilan.
Right. the Smaga or the Smaga, I can't remember which one. I'm trying to figure it out. It has B'chol Yom in brackets.
Okay.
So
I have to look at the printed version and see if there are two gears house.
Square brackets or round brackets.
That's such a band of parents. No, that's a ghost of on the bottom. So you have to look at the original and see what it says. Michael. Avi. Good. Okay. Fine. But bottom line, the Shulchan Aruch formulation does include the Chol Yom. How do we assume Le Maisa? So there's a Tshuva the Marasham. Tshuva the Marasham, Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Peches. Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Peches. This is the same Tshuva the Marasham that we quoted in the past, where he discusses the status of a railroad as a Derech HaHolech B'Yer L'Ir, and whether a railroad is considered Rishas HaYachid or not as far as calculating Shishim Ribo. But in that tshuva, he's addressing the Shoel proposition that B'chol Yom doesn't mean Dafka, literally B'chol Yom. It just means that you require a road that is, as we said before in the formulation of the Ritva and others, Derech with Shishim Ribo. It doesn't mean you need to have Shishim Ribo there on a daily basis. All it means is that it has to provide access for Shishim Ribo. One of the rayas that the Shaul brought was from Tosfos' position, or Tosfos' statement in Shabbos Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Sorry, Erev Daf Vav Amud Aleph. So one of the kashas that Tosfos asks is from the Gemara on Tzadi Ches in Shabbos about the Agolos. You know, the Agolos were Tachtein Abenein Rishis Arabim. So underneath the Agolos was Rishis Arabim. So Tosfos is bothered. If you require Shishim Ribo, what does that mean that you had Shishim Ribo under the Agolos? That would have been very squishy. So, Amari, did Mikamakam darken Hayalot Seis Velav of Osa Derech? So it doesn't mean that you actually had Shishim Ribo under the Agolos. It was an area where there was access for Shishim Ribo. They would travel through that area. So if it's the case that you need Mamish B'chol Yom, if you get out of it, you get out of that.
So the truth is, what about the concept of Yerushalayim, or a walled city has to have its dull place in all of the line in order to do Shis Yachid? It's much we learned that from the Midbar,
right,
that it has to be accessible, open every day. That's what it sounds like from that. You don't have to lock it once a week. You have to lock it up every night.
Well, that's Sabbath Nachlokes. Yeah, do you need
do
new Ulas Belayla,
or
is it sufficient to have Ruyas Lino? Right, that's the Sabbath Nachlokes. How Dapka is new Ulas Belayla?
I'm going with sheep that it's either one door or the shutter of both doors.
Okay.
Yeah. So it sounds like we've left one door from the Diglin Midbar.
Right.
And the reason why I thought I would choose around them anymore.
Right.
Open
right.
Day.
So that restricts access, either practically or theoretically restricts access. Right.
Right.
Less.
Yeah. The top like the Midbar shows that you need daily access.
It could be you need general access. Maybe it's sufficient to have frequent access or the possibility of access. That itself is not a rhyme or crack for that. Okay, but in any event, so the Shoel wanted to read this V'chol Yom and some Lav Dafka, and the Marasham said, what is the impetus? Why should you be dochek absent a raya, or absent a compelling raya? V'chol Yom presumably means V'chol Yom, unless you can prove otherwise. V'od v'nidon didan denaktu sheyu over V'chol Yom vade de'ein lefarishkein del inyan roy Ein l'shar b'chol yom, that if all you need is access for Shishim Ribo, that it should be a place where it's theoretically possible to have Shishim Ribo come in. So what is b'chol yom adding? B'chol yom can't really mean anything other than b'chol yom. That's what the Marsham concludes, that b'chol yom is indeed dafka. The Tshuva the Minchas Elazar, Chela Gimel Simen Dalid. Minchas Elazar writes that, yeah, there's a requirement of B'chol Yom, but it doesn't mean necessarily 365 days a year. As we saw the Lashonos of Rishonim last time, that have Tamid, Rashi, there are Tvah and Regilin Tamid. Now those who showed them have the formulation of Tamid. So Tamid doesn't mean, Tosfos have Tamid. Tamid doesn't have to mean Mamish every day. It means frequently. But if you have one day in which you don't have Shishim Ribo, it doesn't remove the status of a Rishos HaRabim. So as long as you have an area that is generally accessed by Shishim Ribo on a frequent, almost daily basis, if you don't have Shishim Ribo, some days, that's not Mafkia, the Shem Rishos HaRabim. So theoretically, according to the Melchus Lazer, it would seem to follow that even if you had, let's say you have a city or an area where the local population is a little bit less than Shishim Ribo, but the workforce population on a workday is more than Shishim Ribo, so if in most workdays, or all workdays, you have Lamala Shishim Ribo, but on weekends you have less, that would still fall under the definition of B'chol Yom, if that's what appears for the Minchas Elazar. Avi.
Is there any indication based on Minchas Elazar how many days in a year you could be under Shishim Ribo and still fall under Shishim Ribo?
No, he says it's not b'chol yom mamish. Im yefso yom echad bevada liyafim itaros rishis harabim. Rak harbi pa'amim hainu tamil in yinzeh. So often is sufficiently tamil. He doesn't tell you how many days in the calendar. Frequently.
So there's, let's say, a place that had 3-day weekends.
Right.
Still qualify.
Maybe not. Maybe it has to be at least a significant rove. I don't know. Okay. Ramosha, one place, entertains that maybe if you have an area that only on an infrequent basis has Shishim Ribo, that could be Rishis Rabin, but he doesn't think that's correct, Lamaisa. Ramosha, in one of his tubas about Brooklyn, Chelek Dalid Simen Memches writes that in the beaches in Brooklyn, on Coney Island, in Brighton Beach, during the summer, there are more than 1 million people a day. And even if they're not all there at the same time, if they're there in three shifts, so let's say you have 350,000 people a day, together with the local population, so then you have well above Shishim Ribo. So maybe that in of itself should be sufficient to render an area of Rishis HaRabim, even if the normal daily population is not there. Then Moshe writes that since the Shulchan Aruch formulation is B'chol Yom, it's more reasonable that you actually need B'chol Yom. So again, B'chol Yom doesn't necessarily mean everyday mamish, but presumably at least most days. Okay, so let's go with the assumption for our purposes of presenting Shitos. Let's go with the assumption that we calculate Shishim Ribo based on the city, not based on a particular street. So how do you define city for purposes of calculating Shishim Ribo? So presumably the most logical approach would have been that as in other areas of halacha, we define the city based on Ibur Shalir, based on what's considered continuous settlement for purposes of Tchumin and the like. Not a function of municipal boundaries, but how far does the settlement continue contiguously? So if you have multiple cities, but they all blend into each other, one follows the next in a row of continuous settlement, so all those cities together would be considered a halachic city for purposes of defining Shishim Ribo. Ramosha, however, has a double chiddush in calculating Shishim Ribo, which is presented in the aggregate of his various tshuvas on the topic, beginning with Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Lamites, and then Chelek Dalet Simen Pezayin through Peites. So it's Aleph Kuf Yotes, Dalet Pezayin through Peites. And then there's a later tshuva, which is printed in Chelek Ches, but was printed b'chayav in other publications beforehand. It was printed, the letter was written both to Mordechai Tendler and to the Mechaber of the Yitzias HaShabbos, Rabbi Moshe Weissman. Rabbi Moshe Weissman printed it in the first edition of Yitzias HaShabbos, well before Chelech Ches was published. And then, right, so that that was independently published previously. So Ramosha's double chiddush is as follows, which ends up being both the kula and the chumra. Ramosha assumes that in defining Shishim Ribo, we don't look at any particular street. We look at the entire city. And when we look at the entire city, we're actually looking at the people of the city that are on the streets. So it's Shishim Ribo in the entire city, but Shishim Ribo outside. So Moshe initially writes in the first tshuva that that doesn't know exactly what the ratio would be, but it should be a 4-to-1 ratio or a 5-to-1 ratio, meaning that for every person, for every 4 people that are indoors, 1 person would be outdoors, or for every 5 people that are indoors, 1 person would be outdoors. And then Moshe writes, just as a useful number in one of the later tshuvas, that when we talk about Shishim Ribo, we're really talking about 3 million people in total. Because if there are 600,000 people, if there are 3 million people indoors, then you could assume that there are 600,000 people who are going to be outdoors. So some of you pointed out, that may depend on the city, the neighborhood, maybe Washington Heights in the summer at 11 p.m. would be a 1-to-1 ratio. But Ramosha assumes that in most areas of civilization, you have, let's say, the 5-to-1 ratio, that for every person who is outdoors, there are 5 people who are indoors. So that's a tremendous chiddush le-kula, if you will, in one sense. Then when we talk about Shishim Ribo, we really mean a lemaisa population of 3 million. Ramosha also assumes that when you calculate the area for an ear for purposes of Shishim Ribo, you don't look at municipal boundaries, but you look at the area of the Machan and the Midbar. So the Machan and the Midbar was Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil, which is somewhere between, let's say, 8 or 9 miles by 8 or 9 miles. So you would have to cheshben an area of the size of the Machan Midbar, Yud Beis Mil, in order to have a Rishus HaRabim D'Araisa. So that could be, one second, that could be, again, in either direction, a Kula or a Chumra. You could have a city with a population in excess of 3 million people that is spread out over a large geographic area, such that within any Yud Beis Mil, al Yud Beis Mil area, you don't have 3 million. So that is, for example, the justification that the Erev in Los Angeles uses, if you look on their website, that even though Los Angeles is the second most populous city in the country, with a population of over 7 million, but because it's so spread out, you don't have any area of Yud Beis Mil, a Yud Beis Mil, with a population approaching, or people there on a regular basis approaching, 3 million. So their justification for building an Erev in Los Angeles, even according to Ramosha, is that Ramosha would have assumed you don't have your share of Shishim Ribo within Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. On the other hand, theoretically, you could have an area where there are multiple cities, and the combined population of multiple cities within a Yud Beis Mil area could, in theory, I don't think it exists in practice, but could, in theory, eclipse Shishim Ribo. One second. So those are the three basic assumptions, that we calculate Shishim Ribo based on the entire city, not based on the street. It has to be the population that would allow for 600,000 to actually be on the streets, and you cash in the city with Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. So also, for example, in the West Rogers Park Erev Kuntur that we referenced in the past, they quote from David Feinstein that even though The population of Chicago is the third most populous city in the U.S., even though the population in Chicago approaches 3 million, something like 2.7 million, because you don't have that population within a Yud Beis Mil area, and then Rav Moshe would have allowed for constructing an Eruv. Avi. Right. Sounds like the 12 mil box could include everything there. I don't think practically you'd have such a scenario, but theoretically, that's what I was saying. Theoretically, yes.
Right.
Right. Right. So, if an area is geographically distinct by water or some other significant existing mechitzos, that could break up the Yud Beis Mil calculation. Right. So, the theoretical question is, if there's no natural or man-made mechitzos that break it up, it just happens to be a break in settlement. So then you would include that entire area. But if you have an island, so that island would be theoretically distinct. Michael.
So, on the island itself, don't we have much more than 3 million people within the island, at least maybe in downtown?
In Manhattan?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why Rav Moshe presumed that Manhattan is just a rabbin. LA is different, right? For Moshe did not allow an Eruv in Manhattan. For Moshe, the argument goes, would have allowed an Eruv in LA. All right. So those people argue. So what requires further explanation is Ramosha's brief tshuva about the Kew Gardens Hills Eruv. So in Chelek Dalet Simen Peches, in a brief tshuva written to Rabbi Peres Steinberg, Rav Moshe writes that it would be permissible to build an Eruv in Kew Gardens Hills because it is, quote, an Ir Ketana. It is a small city. So many have tried to understand what Rav Moshe meant in that formulation of Ir Ketana. After all, Rav Moshe presumed that both Manhattan and Brooklyn are a Rishis HaRabim because you have a population of, let's say, 3 million within a Yud Beis Mil, a Yud Beis Mil area. So in Queens also, if you look at a Yud Beis Mil area, Queens going into Brooklyn, you would also have the same population. So Maishna, Kew Gardens Hills, and Maishna, Brooklyn. So I've heard different things from different people. I'll tell you what Rabbi Steinberg himself told me. Before I tell you that, I once asked this is Edus Bechsav, meaning I don't actively have a recollection of the conversation I'm about to tell you, but I have notes that I have this conversation. So I'm telling this to you based on my Edus Bechsav, but I don't have an absolute recollection beyond my notes. So I asked Rabbi Aaron Felder, Zichron Levrach, who was a close Talmud of Rav Moshe, what the basis of the Kew Gardens Hills Eruv was and what the Kavanah of Ir Ketana was. And he said he didn't understand it. He said some had claimed that Rav Moshe meant that even within a Yud Beis Mil, a Yud Beis Mil area, in Queens you didn't have a population of Shishim Ribo. Rabbi Felder told me that was factually accurate, meaning that wasn't the Metzias, and he himself didn't understand what Rav Moshe Pesach was based on. But I did once ask Rabbi Steinberg. Rabbi Steinberg told me that Rav Moshe's Kavana was that Kew Gardens Hills is already set aside by pre-existing mechitzos on three sides. So you have the LIE and the Van Wyck and the Grand Central Parkway. So you have basically existing mechitzos, min ha-Torah, around three sides of the area that is contained within the Kew Gardens Hills Erev. And therefore, because it's already set aside as such by existing mechitzos min ha-Torah, then you wouldn't cheshbin based on a broader Yud-Beis Mill, Al-Yud-Beis Mill area. So as long as you don't have a population of Shishim Ribo in that area that's already Mukaf Mechitzos, there's no problem of Rishus HaRabim. That's what Rabbi Steinberg told me Rav Moshe's Kavana to him was. When I mentioned this to Rabbi Willig said, if that's the case, then that also explains what Rabbi Steinberg told him about Riverdale. Because when Rabbi Willig came to Riverdale in 1973... through 1974, there was no Erev. Rabbi Willig, seeing the Chil Shabbos on the streets of people carrying various things without an Erev, thought it was imperative to try to construct an Erev. He was unable to get to Rav Moshe to discuss it with him, but he spoke to both Rabbi Steinberg, who had just put up an Erev in Queens in 1973, and then Rabbi Blumenkrantz, Zichrono Livracha, who had put up an Erev in Far Rockaway a year later. And they both looked at the maps of Riverdale and said, according to Rav Moshe, there'd be no problem building an Erev in Riverdale. So, al derech zeh, Rabbi Willig thought that might be the Kavanah as well, because Riverdale was naturally already Mukaf Mechitzos on three sides, between the area of the water on the south and the cliffs, both on the east and on the west. However, yeah, so that doesn't fit so well. Irtan is not so clear what that means. So according to this, it means that it's demarcated as a separate unit, a separate geographic unit. Okay, so we quoted last time. Yeah.
The Iron Feller explained, I guess.
He didn't explain, he just didn't understand.
Remember, he said that it was supposed to have been that within this 12 by 12 there was no 3 million. You're saying that?
No, he. Some had claimed that was Ramosha's Kavana, but he dismissed that as being wrong. Bimetzius.
Means he did the math of an 8 by 8 or 9 miles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said that definitely wasn't Ramosha's Kavana. Okay. So we quoted last time this anonymous community Erev Kuntris about the Flatbush Erev. I have strong reason to suspect that the author of this booklet is none other than the Baal Mechaber or ArevOnline.blogspot, because there are remarkable similarities in a lot of between the two works, otherwise known as a lineman. So I have strong suspicions that it's the same person. Be that as it may, both the Mechaber of the community Erev and the Baal blog point to the following Lashon of Rav Moshe, and he thinks that this is what Rav Moshe meant about Kew Gardens Hills. This is back to that Chuvin Chelaches. So this is Or HaChaim Chelaches Simin Kavches. So Moshe there writes, I'll just read a couple lines and figure out what he meant. The Moshe is explaining why you can't construct an Erev in Flatbush and Borough Park. He writes, Me Warsaw Sha'asu Sham Erevin Afshahaya Krach Godol Yadua Lefi Chashivis Krachim Gedolim Beruslan de Poland. So even though Warsaw was a large metropolis, so we discussed last time, Rishlomo Dov Kahana was the Rav in Warsaw, told us why they built an Erev, because but you know Rav Moshe didn't hold of the whole Mefulash thing anyway. So Rav Moshe says, even though Warsaw was a big city, Lo hayu ba shishim ribo berchovos Shehu rak be'ir shedarim ba'erach karav l'shalashas million nefashas. So they could build an Eruv because you didn't have a population of 3 million. Yeah, you had a population over 600,000, but according to Ramosh, you need a population of 3 million to make a Rishas Rabbim, and that they didn't have. And then he writes something else. So, Warsaw, lo hayusham kol kachinshi. There weren't that many people. V'achim mechzim yisrael lo yusham. There wasn't even 1.5 million. Okay. U'bishar krachim lo hayu eirvin. And the other big cities, they didn't have Erevin Ella Bechela Katan Behair. Even in the other big cities, they only constructed an Erevin, a small part of the city. Makam Shadarusham Rov HaYehudim. They only constructed an Erevin, a small part of the city, the place where Rov HaYehudim lived. Visham Lo Yoshishim Ribo. And in that part of the city, they didn't have Shishim Ribo. Aval Brooklyn. Flatbush and Bar Park themselves are independently Rishis Arabim. Both Flatbush and Bar Park have Shishim Rebo within Yud Beis Mil, Yud Beis Mil. Sha'afim Shaykh Lechakam Mishneim Akamas Chalukin. Even if you could divide Flatbush and Bar Park, Havikol Echad. Excuse me. Each one itself is a Rishis Rabbim of Shishim Reba. So what does Ramosha mean that Bishar Krafim Lohayu Eirvin Ela Bechela Katan Ba'ir Makam Shadar Sham Rov HaYehudim Visham Lohayu Shishim Reba. They only built Erevin in a certain small part of the city that didn't have Shishim Rebo. What does that mean? No, Ramosha is working with 12 by 12 here. He's...
Working with
12 by 12, they still had a smaller part of the city where most of the Jews lived. The Jews lived in a 12 by 12 area? No. Is he saying that the Jews are concentrated in one area of the city, or they don't actually live outside of that area? Well, the fact that they're concentrated in one part is the reason they only built an Erevin in that part.
Right.
That was just a pragmatic point.
Okay, I was going to clarify.
So Rabbi Lineman thinks that Ramosha means that as long as you don't build an Erev around the entire area that has your population of Shishiribo, you only build the Erev around the small part, so that cordons off that part from the rest of the area. Which is difficult to understand. Number one, it's inconsistent with anything Ramosha wrote before that. And logically, that just seems difficult to understand because you're basically saying that you can build an Erev anywhere you build an Erev. Once you build an Erev, so then you've set aside that area and you're not concerned about the area beyond the Erev because you just built an Erev. It's one thing to say that if an area is already mukaf mechitzos with existing mechitzos, so that is a standalone area. But if you're going to say, it goes a step beyond that to say that any time you make a Zeres HaPesach Erev, so then you've definitionally cordoned off that area from the rest of Yud Beis Mil, and the only problem would be if you were mak at the entire Yud Beis Mil area with Zeres HaPesach, where you have a population of 3 million.
Why is that not logical?
Why is that not logical?
If you build walls.
I'm sorry?
If I build walls around a certain, like,
right.
Box.
Mm-hmm. So, Tzuras Pesach is a mechitza grua, but basically to say That means to say that Ramosha was saying, Ramosha's whole response to why you can't build an Erev in Flatbush, he only really meant to say you can't build an Erev around the entire Brooklyn or an area that has a population of 3 million. If Ramosha really held that, so why didn't he say that, you can't build an Erev around all of Brooklyn, but you can build an Erev around half of Brooklyn? It's kind of circular. Meaning I can, even in an area that's Rishus HaRabim, as long, let's go backwards. So we haven't yet discussed the sugya about Sarabim. We haven't yet established why. I guess we're making certain assumptions. We haven't yet established why you can't build a Tzuras Erev, you can't build a Tzuras HaPesach Erev in Rishus HaRabim. But take my word for it, at the moment, we assume you can't build a Tzuras HaPesach Erev in Rishus HaRabim. So if you have Rishus HaRabim and you build a Tzuras HaPesach Erev around it, now you say that, oh, it's no longer Rishus HaRabim because I built a Tzuras HaPesach Erev around it. So that becomes circular. What still does require beer, though, is Ramosha's tshuva, one tshuva later there in Chelechas about Detroit. So Ramosha there, also in a tshuva that was published elsewhere before Chelechas, or outside of Chelechas, so Ramosha there in 1980 writes that it's okay to build an Erev in Southfield and Oak Park, which are distinct neighborhoods, distinct municipalities, not part of Detroit, but where there is contiguous settlement between Southfield and Oak Park and Detroit. So there, it's not Mukav Mechitzel like Kew Gardens Hills, and yet Ramosha was Matir, building an Erev there. It seems that what you do have to throw into this calculus is what Ramosha writes in the Tshuva in Chelek Aleph Kuf Lamed Tes, and then elaborates on in some of the later Tshuvas, which is Ramosha was concerned about certain meta-halachic issues as well, that even if, technically speaking, you could construct an Erev in an area that is perceived as a major Rishus HaRabim, people may then get confused and construct an Erev in an area where you're not allowed to because it's an absolute Rishus HaRabim. So it could be that part of Ramosha's cheshbon with, let's say, Southfield and Oak Park is that in Detroit proper, and this kind of is reflected in the end of the tshuva, in Detroit proper, which in 1980 had a population of over a million and now has been in major decline, so the population somewhere south of 700,000, but even at the time where Detroit at its height had a population of 1.5 million, so you didn't have you never had a Shish and Reba, according to Ramosha, of 3 million, but Detroit was a big enough city that it had such a large population, people could easily confuse Detroit with the real Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. For that reason, Ramosha thought, perhaps, that it would have been inappropriate to construct an Erev in Detroit proper, because that's perceived as a large major city, and people wouldn't distinguish or be able to distinguish between Detroit and, let's say, Manhattan, even though there are, Manhattan would have a Shir Shishi Rebo, Detroit wouldn't have a Shir Shishi Rebo, but because of that consideration, it would be inappropriate to build an Erev in Detroit. However, because Southfield and Oak Park are separate municipalities, people don't view them as part of Detroit. They are concentrated areas of Jewish settlement outside of the official city limits, even though they're within the Yud Beis Mill or Yud Beis Mill, but that wouldn't pose a problem for this meta-halachic consideration of not building Erev in areas that may be confused with Erev Rishus HaRabim. Theoretically, you could have said the same thing in Kew Gardens Hills, to distinguish between Kew Gardens Hills and Brooklyn, although again Rabbi Steinberg told me the Rav Moshe was operating with a more rigorous halachic analysis. So that might be the better explanation as to why there's a difference between, let's say, Detroit and Brooklyn. Although, if you're operating with that cheshbon, then you should have said the same thing in Chicago as in Detroit. And yet, Rav David claimed, at least the representation was that he claimed, that Rav Moshe would have allowed for an Erev in Detroit, and I could have had the same objection when it comes to L.A.
So Tommy Saber is that Rav Moshe would think that all downtown cities should not have an Erev.
I'm sorry?
So it's Tommy Saber necessarily that Rav Moshe would think that it's out there to have an Erev in all downtown.
Well, it's clear that Rav Moshe, as a matter of halacha, views the Rishis HaRabim as only being an issue in an area that has a population or travelers of numbering 3 million. Right, so then even if you have a population less than 3 million, there could still be consideration not to build an Erev.
Right, except that
in an area that
apparently was okay.
I'm sorry?
Except in some downtown areas apparently is okay.
Like?
You're saying like Chicago and L.A.
Right, so Chicago is not a downtown area, it's a more residential area, but again, Rav Moshe never, as far as I know, the Erev in Chicago was built after Moshe passed away, as was the Erev in L.A., so Rav Moshe never weighed in on Erev in L.A. and Chicago. The L.A. people claim that Rav Moshe would have allowed it, but they obviously never discussed it with him, and that may be true from a technical halachic perspective as opposed to the meta halachic perspective. Yeah.
Did Rav Steinberg ever hear what he said to the reference to Rav Moshe? Because what we're saying now is that the last letter is the Lashon Rav Moshe Sir Ketan. It makes Sir Ketan of like Dafka meant that as opposed to trying in the heart.
Right. So you could ask him. I don't recall.
Okay. And taking that as far as Rav Moshe, being a Malachic, you don't want to walk around in Times Square and see people carrying.
In Manhattan, maybe you're just around the rice anyway, because you have the 3 million above within your base mill.
Right.
So Manhattan would be theoretically Manhattan and perhaps Brooklyn, although Brooklyn may have we'll have to talk about the mechitzas around Brooklyn and whether that would create a Rishus Yachid Daraisa anyway. But according to Rav Moshe's analysis, leaving Brooklyn as a parenthesis or question mark, Manhattan would be the only Rishus HaRabim Daraisa in America.
And does that extend beyond that Yehudit Mill? I mean, let's assume that Yehudit Mill is
there. Manhattan would stand alone because it's an island anyway. So you wouldn't extend beyond Manhattan. Manhattan is its own city, halachically.
Right, so in other words, even though, let's say, in the uppermost part of Manhattan, like the Heights or Inwood,
yeah.
If the Yehudit Mill would be drawn around here, you might not hit 3 million.
Well, no, Manhattan itself, what's the, how many square miles in Manhattan?
Oh,
there's a
square,
it's
very narrow.
Number crosses,
like,
not more
than
22.9.
22.9.
What do
you
get?
What did you have?
I
already
get
to
the
funny.
No,
okay.
It depends on how you type it.
I wrote
how
many square miles.
It's 13.4 from top to bottom makes more
right.
sense.
Yeah, you're right.
So when you draw that, you're going to draw it on the lower areas, presumably.
Right. Well, you could start on either side.
So we were going to say that it encompasses the entire thing, probably.
If you start on either side, then theoretically. Okay, so stop here, and next time.